This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence, your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM. Backspin Golf is brought to you by Gearheads of Nicholasville, Edwin Watts Golf, Truly Nolan and Critter Control, French Lick Resort Casino, and Lexington Parks and Recreation. Also sponsored by Commonwealth Credit Union, Georgetown Advantage Air, and Maple Leaf Gutter and Siding Systems. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. Hey there. Good morning. Good morning. I hope I get to play golf today. I hope you do as well. Welcome to another edition of Backspin Golf. Great show as always lined up. And I'm not being biased. It's a great show, as I think it is every Sunday morning. Bob Harrig had a book released this week that I'm about halfway through now, and it is unbelievable. Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. And I'm telling you, everything in this, there is so much in this book that we had no idea about. It's fascinating. So I'm going to talk to Bob about that. Our pal Chris Reddle of the Bluegrass Golf Tour and Bluegrass Golf Foundation is going to join me. We have a ton of things going on in our state, thanks to Chris and his great organization. And then our buddy Trevor Reese, who is now part of Golf Unfiltered. So we have a stable of four of my favorite people with Golf Unfiltered. We'll speak with him. Before I say hello to Chris Mascara, real quick, and this is not, I am not in, a paid endorser of this company. My brother Mitchie sent me a pair of golf shoes from a company called True Links Wear, T-R-U-E, Links Wear. I'm telling you, people, go to the website, truelinkswear.com, and check it out. These are not only golf shoes, they are everyday, everything shoes. And if I could sleep with them, I would. They're unbelievable. Everything in their catalog is incredible. Check it out, truelinkswear.com. Good morning, Chris Mascara. Best golf podcast next on the tee. Every time. All right, let's get to it. Here we go. You know, doing this show, as I always say, gives me the opportunity to speak with people that I admire and respect and have also become friends with. And I'm very lucky to do this. And that certainly applies with my friend Bob Harrig of Sports Illustrated, who I spoke to actually last week, and we often have discussions for my show about just golf in general, the Players Championship or LIV or whatever it is. But I decided that I need to speak with Bob Harrig of Sports Illustrated again, because a couple days ago, something very important happened. There was a book released officially called Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods, written by one Bob Harrig. And I just got the book and I'm through about four chapters. It's astounding. I'll just say it up front. And I know Bob, as humble as he is, I always talk about him this way, but too bad. I'm going to do it again. Hi, Bob.
I thought you were calling me to talk about the Tampa Bay Rays.
Oh, that's right. Opening day.
Isn't it your favorite team?
Okay, nice talking to you, Bob. Yeah. This has been a great friendship, but it's over now, pal. Anyway, this is a huge deal because this book is astounding to me, and I don't know why, but not only for the writing, obviously, but when you really, because of how great the writing is, when you really think about everything that Tiger has meant and been through in all of Tiger Woods' career, it's hard to believe that one person has done all this. And I want to start with you about the book this way. You started covering Tiger when he turned pro, is that right? Or before?
Yeah, actually, Matthew, I was at the he played in the Masters twice as an amateur,
right,
and also the U.S. Open twice, and mm-hmm. I was at both of those as well. And that was a time when there was a lot of hype around Tiger.
I mean,
you know, like obviously there's young players that come along and they get a lot of attention, but Tiger was immense. I mean, he had won the U.S. Junior and U.S. Ams. You know, he was, you know, in college, he was very well known. I mean, he was the rare college player that attracted a gallery.
Yeah.
So yeah, it actually starts out before he turned pro.
And we should say he won 3 junior amateurs and 3 U.S. amateurs, which had never been done before.
Yep.
When did you, covering him is one thing, but when did you actually start kind of a relationship with him where you were interviewing him?
That probably occurred not until I was at ESPN, which mm-hmm. started around 2007.
Yeah.
So, you know, Tiger was well into his career at that point.
Right.
That's when I was out there a lot more often. I was more, you know, in my newspaper career down here in Florida, I covered golf, but I wasn't at nearly the number of tournaments I was going to,
right,
as a writer at ESPN and SI now. Because, you know, obviously it became more of a national thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and obviously Tiger would have known about ESPN and the national newspaper outlets were dwindling. National outlets were growing.
Right.
And so that's kind of when I got to know him a little bit better. And, you know, I was around a lot, you know, he couldn't help but not see me,
right,
you know, you know, I would ask him a lot of questions, and Tiger was good about, you know, the occasional walk and talk during a pro-am round or a practice round. I mean, that was where the majority of the interviewing took place. The good news for him was it wasn't wasting his time.
Right.
He was there mm-hmm. anyway.
Right.
You know, he wasn't like hanging around to get asked a bunch of questions. So, you know, I always appreciate the fact that he's been good to me over the years.
Yeah.
You know, he's a hard guy to get close to. And, you know, even now, like, you know, he's not around as much.
Right.
I found a little bit of tension due to the fact that I've covered a lot of LIV. And they don't like that.
Yeah.
But yet he's always good. He's always fair when I ask a question. And that's probably about what you'd have to expect.
Right. I want to talk about this because this is something that is still so remarkable to all of us. But the opening of your book, Drive, The Legacy, Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods, starts with the 2008 U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, which all of us that love golf remember vividly because he won the U.S. Open on a broken leg, basically. I mean, forget about walking and everything he had to do. And the opening of your book, it's why instantly people are drawn into this book, is I never knew any of this. I have never seen it anywhere. I don't think any of us have. About Stevie Williams and Tiger and what actually went on with that injury at the 2008 U.S. Open. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Basically, Tiger's doctors told him he shouldn't play.
Yeah.
First of all, 2008, Tiger was on fire.
Yeah.
I mean, he won like 4 or 5 times early that year. He'd gone to Dubai and won. He started out the year winning at Torrey Pines, where the U.S. Open was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he won the Arnold Palmer. And then he went to the Masters and didn't win. Very disappointed. He finished 5th. He finished second. That was the one that Trevor Immelman won.
Right.
And, but like right after the Masters, he had what was viewed as like, you know, a little, you know, benign cleanup knee surgery. Like there was stuff going on in there. You know, of course, these things are always okay when it's not you.
Right. Yeah.
It was portrayed as it's going to be no big deal. He'd be back in time, like for the memorial.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened was, is when they got in there, they realized, and of course they don't tell us this at the time, but they realized that his knee was destroyed. They told him that he was going to need to have an ACL replacement. And he was sort of like, well, you know, how long can I go? And they basically said, you know, he was going to try to play the rest of through the PGA Championship in 2008,
mm-hmm.
and then get it done and be ready for the Masters in 2009. So, but what happens is afterward, while he's sort of trying to rehab and get ready, he has this injury to his tibia where he broke these two, you know, he has these two fractures. And of course, nobody knows this.
Right.
And that's why he didn't play the memorial that year. That was when the alarm started sounding, when he didn't come back for the memorial.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Hank Haney tells the story. You know, they go to the doctor, they're looking at the x-rays, and the guy says, you're going to need to be on crutches. And, you know, Hank's like, well, how long is that? And he's like, well, 6 weeks. And like, well, there goes the U.S. Open. And like, Tiger's like, screw that, you know, let's go practice, Hank. And yet there was periods of time where Tiger, you know, he couldn't break 40.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and he played some practice rounds out in California, tried to wear a knee brace, and he lost 5 or 6 balls in 9 holes. He was awful.
Yeah.
And Steve Williams wondered what the hell's going on, you know, and he was fearing for Tiger's, you know, long-term health.
He's right.
Like, are you sure this is a good idea?
Right.
And, you know, as I recount in there, he used the F word and said, hey, you know, basically told Steve, you know, shut up, quit saying that. I'm going to win the damn tournament.
Right. That whole thing, just reading through all of that. And then in our minds, we have those pictures of, you know, Rocco and the playoff and Tiger limping and buckling every time he hits a shot and all that stuff. All right, I want to move now just quickly to the difficult period in Tiger's life. First of all, I just thought of something. How long did it take you to write this book?
Probably about 9, 10 months,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I could have used more time, frankly. the way these things go is in this day and age, I'm still sort of amazed at, like, you know, I could write a story now and in 5 minutes it could be posted on the internet.
Yeah, right.
But for a book, I have to give them 80 or 90,000 words like 8 or 9 months in advance.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like it was due last summer and, you know, it just came out this week.
Right.
Right. And you know, we obviously there's an editing process,
mm-hmm.
and they have to print it, and there's lots of gymnastics that they have to go through. But yeah. I kind of started it like late summer, early fall of 2022, and I had to be done like by last June.
Right.
And so yeah, it's now the good news for me is, you know, I have been around for a lot of this stuff, and I could rely on my own reporting and
right.
files of things I'd covered, and
yeah.
you know, I wasn't having to start. I'd written a Tiger Phil book,
right?
You know,
which
some
is
of the
also
US
great
Open stuff.
Yeah,
you know, was in there. I mean, I could draw on a lot of things, but yeah, it's, you know, when you have a job too, it can be a little bit daunting, and in the middle of it, you're thinking, why did I take this on? but once it's done, it's pretty rewarding.
Yeah, so. Well, and for all of us too. All right. In the 2 or 3 minutes we have left, just briefly, that difficult period from the car accident and what happened at the mailbox, that and all of that stuff in Tiger's life, that kind of is going to be something, as the whole book is, that people are going to be really interested in, I think.
Yeah. I mean, look, you can make the argument that Tiger coming back from the marital scandal was the hardest thing he's tried to come back from.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, obviously the back injury was very difficult physically, you know, culminating with that 19 Masters win, which, you know, I sort of make the argument might be his greatest victory.
Yeah.
You know, yep. Given everything.
Right.
But there was no physical issues with Tiger coming off of the 2009-2010 scandal.
Right.
And yet it took him almost three years to win again.
Yeah.
And so the emotional scars of that, I think were quite difficult on him. I make the argument that his 2010 Masters, where he finished fourth and Phil won, was an amazing accomplishment given what he had put himself through mentally. And again, it's all self-inflicted.
Yes.
I'm not like, it's not like, woe is Tiger.
Right.
But, you know, he had not played golf for 5 months.
Right.
And for a good period of that time, I don't know that he hit a shot.
Yeah.
You know, probably for 3 months, you know, there was the rehab thing and he was away from it. And he decides to come back at the Masters of all places and shoot 68 in the first round.
Yeah.
And, you know, and was in contention and had it, you know, kind of had a chance on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's remarkable that he put himself there.
Well, also physical stuff, people can get past physical stuff. And that it's like, oh, look at how hard he's fighting. Look at how the scandal stuff and the aftermath of that was total. It wasn't just him mentally. It was everybody, all the fans, all that everybody saying, you know, beat it basically to him. And that's got to be hard too.
Exactly. I mean, and you know, I think someday I hope Tiger does a memoir.
Yeah.
And talks about these low periods in his life. You know, he had one scheduled that either was put on hold or killed. You know, I think we'd like to know what that period was like. We'd like to know what really happened at the car crash. You know, I wish I could get to the bottom of those things, but those are, you know, those are things that he's never discussed.
Right.
You know, so I looked at this from the standpoint of the man has had obviously great skills, but you do not win at the rate he did without having this mental fortitude, you know, to push through some of these things that he's gone through.
Right.
And I mean, you know, even like things like his cut streak.
Yeah.
You know, 142 straight cuts. It's just crazy.
All of it. You know, all crazy. Of it. All right. Well, I will keep talking about this book. It's fantastic. I can't say it more forcefully. If you love golf and you care about Tiger and the things in this book are astounding. We can't get to them. And you're just an amazing guy to me, Bob. I'm very grateful for our friendship. And I'm assuming everybody can get this book now wherever you get your books, right?
Absolutely. Yep. It's out there. Amazon is probably the easiest.
Yep.
Barnes and Noble. Yeah. It's
all over.
It's out there. I appreciate it, Matthew. Thank you.
Well, not hopefully. I'll talk to you soon because I like bothering you and speaking to you on the show. And thanks again. You're a great one, man.
Anytime. Thank you so much.
Take care. See ya.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is brought to you by Commonwealth Credit Union.
Welcome back. It's always a great pleasure of mine to speak to my friend, who I'll introduce in a second, who I got to see, as I've talked about already on this show, last Monday at the wonderful, wonderful PGA Kentucky Section Special Award Ceremony. I got to see him for just a minute, but it's always great to talk to him because he does such great work in our state for the game that we love and all the people that are connected to it. And, of course, I am speaking of Chris Reddle. He is the executive director of the Bluegrass Golf Foundation and so much more that I get to talk with him about today. Hi, Chris.
How are you doing, Matthew? Thank you for having me on. I appreciate talking with you.
No, it's my pleasure. Believe me. There's so much, you know, this time of the year is great because we're finally getting to a point where we might be able to have weather where we can play golf for a few months now, which is something we all love. But I want to start off with you. And by the way, peeps listening, you all know about the award I won at the KPGA section, because I talk about it all the time. But, you know, I'm proud of it. Chris is also a winner. As a matter of fact, he was the Assistant Golf Professional of the Year twice, back-to-back years, 2013 and 14. So, and as you said to me, you didn't host the award like I did, but it's pretty impressive stuff, Chris.
Well, thank you. Yeah, my previous career, I spent 14 years working on the club side, really enjoyed that, getting to know the members and the golfers that came out to the golf course every day. But for the last decade, basically since that time, I've been working in junior golf, but we're trying to do some pretty special things in that arena as well.
Well, I would say that's kind of humble by you. I'll get to the Bluegrass Golf Tour in a minute, but I'm just going to read this for a second. The Bluegrass Golf Foundation started the Bluegrass Golf Tour in 2019. Before this year, the Bluegrass Golf Tour held, 353 tournaments at 73 different courses with more than 3,300 members. I mean, that's absurd, Chris. I'm just saying that's absurd. Think about how, and I know you do every day, all the different people you've touched with what you're doing. It's astounding.
And what's amazing though about it, Matthew, is there's a lot of people that don't know about the Bluegrass Golf Tour yet.
Yeah.
We're relatively on the scene, and while we're doing some wonderful things, that's why I really appreciate the chance to share with your listeners a little bit about our mission and our goals. I mean, we try to have tournaments as close to home for as many players as possible from border to border in the state of Kentucky. So as we continue to grow, we're going to continue to work to try to add even more events at new courses that we haven't visited before. But we're really appreciative. We get to work with a lot of great golf courses and a lot of great golf professionals and course managers, and they give us the opportunity to have junior golf tournaments at their facility, and we can't thank them enough for that opportunity.
You know, before we move on, you just said something that's really important in terms of junior golf, at whatever kind of tournament it is, and that's the part about it being close to home. So kids from Eastern Kentucky, if they want to play, don't have to go all the way to Western Kentucky to play, not only for them, but for their parents. That's a huge part of this. It's a great thing.
And you know my travel schedule. I'm getting a little bit smarter in my years of working in junior golf. We actually have some surrogates, some golf coaches that we're working with in Eastern Kentucky and Western Kentucky to expand those opportunities for those players.
Yeah.
So we're adding another 5 or 6 tournaments in Eastern Kentucky, east of Winchester this year. And then in Western Kentucky, we've added another 5 or 6 tournaments in Western Kentucky, west of the Pennyroyal Parkway, as I still call it. So again, yeah, it's hard when you live in the corners of the state to have an opportunity to play close to home. It's certainly a lot easier in Lexington and Louisville and
right.
in the central Kentucky area. But yeah, to expand it all the way to the borders, because these kids, they want to play golf just like the ones in the big cities do. And, you know, to be able to go to those golf courses and hold some events close to home is real important for me.
Okay, I'm skipping around a little bit here, but because we're speaking about the kids playing golf, this is a really important one for me, and it's not happening till the 15th of July. But I want you to touch on real quick, you're going to have an adult-child scramble on the 15th of July at Griffin Gate Resort, where we just were, and that's a great golf course. Talk about that for a second. That's what a great idea.
Yeah, this is a bit of a comeback event for us. We've done this event in the past, and we didn't hold an event like this last year, but our players spoke. They wanted to have some sort of an event where they could get out there and play with an adult partner. So it's pretty unique in that it's a scramble format, just like you see in the PNC Championship when when Tiger and Charlie are out there playing, yeah. when Mike Thomas and Justin Thomas are out there playing. And for many years, I've had a match play championship where I gave out a worldwide wrestling belt
yeah.
to the overall team champion. And while that event is sunset, now I can use those wrestling belts as to the overall winners in this adult child tournament. So it can be any player that is class of 2024 and younger, high school class, those yeah. are the juniors, and they can play with any partner that's class of 2023 or older. So it doesn't have to be a parent, although a lot of times you'll see a parent and their child be out there playing golf. And mm-hmm. and for Griffin Gate to be able to open up the course and let us be out there on a Monday morning with a shotgun start at 9 o'clock, certainly a wonderful venue to be able to have a fun event where all the players and teams are riding around in a golf cart, and hopefully we get a wonderful weather day.
Yeah. And by the way, you're going to give awards to 6 different age groups, high school boys and girls, middle school boys and girls, and 12 and under boys and girls. And if I can take a shot at Liv like I do on seemingly every one of my shows, that's called growing the game. I won't get deeper into it, but that is called growing the game. And keeping it within that mode, can you talk to us a little bit about the Bluegrass Tour Education Series? This is fascinating to me because it's something that we all hear about college golf and scholarships and different things, but we know very little about it. Explain what this education series is about.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to share this. We've got an education committee with our board of directors, mm-hmm. and we started last year with some college coach videos because, well, not every player that's playing on the BGT wants to play golf in college. Some of them are just preparing for the high school season or to play on their middle school or high school teams. Many of the players that play are just starting their journey toward wanting to play golf in college. But there's a lot of parents and families out there that don't know a lot about the process because we all are familiar with basketball at a high level in Central Kentucky. We know that 4 stars and 5 stars and reaching out and having coaches reach out to them, trying to get them to come to their school is common. It's not as common in golf. It's building relationships between the coaches and the players in order to find the right opportunity for each player. So even on our website, by the way, bluegrassgolftour.com, there's a video list underneath the menu at the top of the page. And last year's videos with many of the college coaches that we've already talked to are presented right there on our website where folks can go and view that.
Wow.
Some Central Kentucky coaches we've talked to include Otis Smith at Midway, Brian Lane at Transy, Justin Tereshko at Eastern Kentucky, and we just added an interview with Gator Todd from UK that's going to be coming out here soon to our members. Every Friday, we send out a weekly email to share those videos with our members. So it's just a small step in getting the process. And then, of course, real quickly, the golf professionals that are invested in teaching junior golf are also an important part of that process. So now we're working on connecting with a lot of those facilities that are concentrating on junior golf to give them an opportunity to share information about their programs with our players. So players that may need an instructor can go and view some of these videos and maybe find someone that can help them with their game.
That's awesome. And when we get through talking, I'm going to give you a call and talk to you about that with somebody that I have in mind that you need to be in touch with.
Great.
You know, the other thing about this and thinking about it is that when you're putting together a football team or a baseball team or even a basketball team that has 12, 13 players or whatever, college golf teams don't have a tremendous number of openings. And a lot of the openings are taken by these upper level golfers, as you were talking about. So this is a fantastic resource for that. Brian Lane, Justin Tereshko, these are all guys that are friends of mine. And I love hearing this. I think it's a great step, Chris.
Well, there are multiple layers to get involved with college golf. And while the transfer portal is also hitting many of the major sports, it's also hitting in golf and other non-revenue sports. And I think one of the main goals is to get yourself on the golf course as a freshman in college at whatever level you need to be on the course.
Right.
Because now you have the opportunity to showcase your skills and showcase your scores. And if the goal is to get to a different place at a future point in your college career, you'll have that opportunity through the transfer portal. But I think really what we see a lot of times, more so in golf than maybe the other sports, is you're building relationships with coaches and teammates. You want to go someplace where you can spend your entire college career with that team. And hopefully some of the stuff that we do with the BGT can help open some of those doors.
Okay, that's great. Before I let you go, we got a few minutes. Talk to us about the College Showcase, because this is coming up. It's June 4th and 5th at the University Club here. That'll be here before you know it. I don't know if you know this. It's almost Christmas. Has anybody said that to you yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
I'll hear it soon.
Okay. Talk to me for a minute about the College Showcase.
Yeah, and it kind of piggybacks on that education series, because a large part of that program is following the first round. So we're on June 4th and 5th. It's a Tuesday, Wednesday at the University Club of Kentucky. Everybody on the first day plays the Wildcat course with a shotgun start. And as everyone comes in over in the Outing Pavilion at UK Club, we've got Betty Krager, who leads an education series for about college. And we'll have a couple of college coaches that she'll have come in and be a part of that as well. So it's just, in addition to the golf tournament, we have an education series that's built into the middle of it. And on the second day, we do tee times on the Big Blue course. So the players get to play all 36 holes at the University Club of Kentucky over those 2 days. We invite college coaches to attend, to be out there to watch play. And we will see a few of them that'll make a visit at some point during the day. Mm-hmm. We use our large video boards as well with our, just like you see at the Central Kentucky Championship or the PGA Tour event, the old Barbasol tournament, you'll see those big leaderboards. We have that on the BGT as well at our major tournaments, and a chance to showcase those players.
Well, all of this is just fantastic, and we're just really getting into, as we know, the golf season now. So I'm going to have you back often and talk about everything coming up. I know we have the Cullen Brown Invitational coming up and the Bluegrass Tour Championship a little bit later in the summer, but there's a lot of stuff. Excuse me. I get a little choked up sometimes, Chris. There's a lot of
those awards.
Yeah, that's exactly. There's a lot of great stuff, great stuff you're doing over there, and I appreciate you coming on and talking, and we'll be in touch with you real soon.
You bet, Matthew. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to talking with you in the future.
Okay. See ya.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is brought to you by French Lick Resort Casino.
Welcome back. On my show, one of my favorite Twitter accounts, websites, group of people. It started off with just one, my buddy, Adam Fonseca. And Golf Unfiltered has now turned into a collection of four of my favorite people. And I haven't spoken to Trevor Reisk in a while. That's going to change. I might talk to him every day now, just because I've missed him. He is now with Golf Unfiltered. You can hold on, Trevor. You can follow him on Twitter at Trevor Reisk, R-E-A-S-K-E. Hello.
Good morning. That is quite the intro. I feel like I'm on like Club Shay Shay or something. I appreciate that.
Okay, wait.
And, it has been too long.
Yeah, it has. It's Club Shay Shay. I'm sorry. I don't get it. I don't get the. I'm old.
Well, he just does fantastic intros for all the guests, and I feel like that was on par with what he normally does.
How cool is that? I'm flattered. Thank you. And I will now start watching or listening or whatever you do with Club Shay Shay.
You don't have to.
No, I don't have to. You know how old I am, Trevor. Come on. Anyway.
I don't want to say.
Okay. Well, it's great to talk to you. It's funny because in the last couple of days, knowing that I was going to speak with you, I watched just this 30-second thing with the four of you speaking, and it was very funny. I mean, you went. Talked about Kate Middleton. You did. I mean, it's not just golf, but that's what I love about my show is it's golf, but it's a lot more than that. And you've always been great at that. So I'm very happy to be talking to you now, since we haven't spoken in a while. Let's start with general feelings from you about the bleep show that professional golf has become. other than the actual like hitting of shots. Just tell me where you are with everything.
Well, I forget the timeline, but there was supposed to be a deal in place between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf, right? They were supposed to do something by the end of last year. That has still yet to be seen.
Won't be for a while. I
don't know what they're going to do, but there has to be some sort of solution because LIV is still scooping up golfers, and even Rory McIlroy has kind of come around on LIV Golf. Not, you know, he's still going to be a pro PGA Tour guy, but that line between the two tours is getting murkier and murkier, and it's frustrating to watch.
Yes.
as a PGA Tour guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the LIV tournaments mean, you know, other than the winner gets a ton of cash.
Yeah, you know, and everybody else that's playing. You don't even have to win.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I'll always be a guy that will support the PGA Tour. You have to go out and earn it. You have to play well in order to make your money.
Right.
The other thing is you got, like, Chris DeMarco coming out and saying that the senior guys need more money. His quote was just – I was taken aback by his quote where he said, you know, we want to play for some real money. These $2 million purses are not getting it done. And essentially, you know, I'm kind of paraphrasing, but
yeah,
$2 million purses are not getting it done for you old fart. Like, let's get real here. I'm joking about the old fart thing.
No, I,
like,
know. I know.
That's pretty damn good. And also take into account that most of the guys that are playing on that tour have been very successful in their careers. It's not like they're hurting for cash.
Right.
You got that aspect of it where is golf kind of becoming all about the money?
Yeah.
And it certainly seems that way. The one respite we have in all that is it is springtime, and we are 10 days away from the start of the Masters, which – that still means something.
Right.
And we got that going for us. So I'm very excited for that. I, like a sucker, for the second or third consecutive year, I purchased the food package
from
Augusta.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm ready to lock in for that. my son is now at the age where he's interested in sports in general.
Yeah. How old is he?
He's 6 and a half. He'll be 7 this summer.
Boy.
So he's, and we signed him up for a golf camp. So he's very excited for the Masters as well.
Oh,
and
awesome.
I'm looking forward to sharing that moment with him. So, it's not all bad, but the state of professional golf is not in a great place right now.
Well,
and hopefully something can be worked out.
Just knowing you the way that I do, I think you feel the same way. I'm very frustrated because I used to watch golf all the time, like we all did. And it didn't have to be the Masters. I mean, it wasn't every weekend, but most weekends, for part of the weekend, and especially on Sunday, wherever they were playing, you would turn it on. I don't watch it at all anymore. I watch the Players. I watch parts of the Genesis, but the tournament started yesterday in Texas, and I watched 5 minutes of it and I turned it off. I couldn't even watch it. I was like, I don't care. I don't care about this. And I think a lot of people are feeling this way. And hey, Chris DeMarco, you make more money when people care about what you're doing. Usually, like, there aren't that many people that care about the Champions Tour, and you know, whether that's good or bad, but that's the reality of it. So, that's the frustrating part to me, is that I don't really care about it except the majors and maybe the Players. And, you know,
you don't have, like, Scottie Scheffler is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, he just set the record for most consecutive rounds under par, which is an astounding statistic.
Yeah.
And who really cares. You know, like he's not a superstar, despite the fact that he's an unbelievable golfer. And what's the biggest, you know, Scottie Scheffler is in the driver's seat to win his second Masters. But what's the biggest story? Tiger Woods is going to play.
Right. Of course.
Right? So there will never be anyone like Tiger Woods, obviously, but they're still searching for a star.
Yeah.
You know, Rory hasn't really been a factor in a major, you know, he's been top 10 several times, but
he hasn't won, you know, quite a while.
A really long time. And,
yeah.
And maybe he would be the most, if you had to say who's the most popular PGA Tour golfer, maybe Rory at this point.
Yeah.
Jordan Spieth didn't take off the way it looked like he was going to. You know, he won 3 majors in a short period of time and hasn't won one since, and his game is a roller coaster to watch.
Yeah.
Andrew Shoffley, kind of not a, you know, not an outgoing personality, really. Who really knows anything about Xander Schauffele?
Right.
So, like, if you're a casual fan, yeah, the golf is great, but there's got to be a little extra juice to it to make the average, but encourage the average golf fan to tune in. And
right.
It's just not there right now.
Right. And all the other guys, like Ricky and even our guy here, Justin Thomas, who we love, you know, hasn't. I still want to watch him play, and I still want to watch Ricky play in it. But, and there's some really incredible young guys that are on the tour now. But as you said, it's not that one kind of galvanizing guy. I can't believe Scottie Scheffler is as good as he is. With
it's unbelievable.
With the way his feet move, his dancing, he's doing all that. And what he's doing in the last couple of years is, we can't even really imagine how good this guy is, but I don't really care about watching him play. I like what he's doing for the tour in terms of how he speaks out and all of that stuff, but I don't really care about, you know, oh boy, Scottie's playing. I got to turn it on. I'm like, okay. I had more fun watching Peter Malnati win.
Right.
I played 9 holes with him 2 years ago in the Barbasol Pro-Am, and he was a wonderful human being. And you're seeing that now. I mean, the way he's reacted to his victory is something that has been so great.
Yeah. And that's going back to our earlier part of the conversation, that's what you get with the PGA Tour that you don't get with Liv.
Right, exactly.
So you get a story like that. A guy that's grinded away on tour for a long time and finally makes that, you know, life-changing
win.
You know, the guys that sign up for LIV are already having that life-changing moment because they're getting a nice direct deposit from the PIF, and they're not going to – I mean, yeah, they're going to work hard, but the incentive to grind at the range and work on your putting and chipping and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's not the same on LIV that it is on PGA Tour, and it never will be. So that's why I hope there's some sort of,
you know, something
this year, sort of conclusion, some sort of agreement that actually takes place, because it has to at this point.
Yeah. Have you been able to play at all?
Well, we just finished basketball season, and we're moving into flag football season.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty busy, but I do have a tournament coming up that I'm playing in, which I'm excited about. The winners actually get green jackets, which the cash, the hand-in envelope cash, which is nice, but I want that green jacket.
Oh, yeah, so, see.
We will see.
Yeah.
But I do need to get to the range little bit here to kind of remember how to swing a golf club, and it's been cold. It's been cold, like it's luckily it's starting to change. So, I said, springtime, man.
I get that. Same here, but you're good enough. You only need to hit a few balls. I know how you are, and this is exactly what we're looking for on the PGA Tour, is guys like you who don't care about the cash. You want that green jacket. That's what we're looking for.
You get to aware to all the, you know, the club functions
I'm
into that.
Yeah.
I don't know what size jacket I am. I might need to look into that.
They
can start tailoring that.
That would be me. I haven't worn a sport jacket in a long, long time.
It's been a while.
That's great. But the good news is now that your son is getting into golf and starting to, you know, you can take him to the range when you hit balls. You can putt with him. You can do all that stuff. And I remember doing that with my boys, and it's the best. They drove.
Although I think he likes the hot dog.
Well, that's okay. That's okay too.
He looks more.
My two, both of them learned to drive by driving my golf cart. Both of them.
They weren't
6.5 or 7, but they were pretty close, like 9 or 10 when I would let them, you know, for a hole or two. And it's just, you know, we all know how great it is, father and son or father and daughter, to be able to. It's why it's a game that we love. All right. Before we let you go, because we are here in Lexington, and you're a Virginia Tech alum, and I hate to even bring this up, but I am going to apologize to you for Big Blue Nation and UK for stealing your women's basketball coach.
You know, it's bittersweet for me because I'm happy for Coach Brooks. You know, he's making significantly more money moving to the SEC.
Yeah.
So good for him and his family. Actually, I know his brother a little bit, have gotten to know the family a little bit. And he's a great basketball coach, even better person.
Right.
You're getting a good one. I look at Virginia Tech's point guard, Georgia Amore, comes from Australia. Her parents couldn't be further away from her. She couldn't be further from home. Coming to Blacksburg, Virginia, and Coach Brooks took care of her, you know, and acted as a second father to her while her parents were, I don't even know, 10,000 miles away.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the kind of guy that he is. Virginia Tech basketball has never really been anything special.
Yeah.
But it is a women's basketball school right now.
Yeah.
And he's the reason for that.
Yeah.
Great recruiter, great X's and O's guy, obviously. But like I said, just an awesome person and a guy that you want associated with your program. So I'm happy that he's we were talking about money earlier. He's got a significant pay bump, and that's awesome for him and his family.
So yeah.
Happy for him, and that hate to lose him. I don't know what's going to become of the women's hoops team at Tech for the next few years, but hopefully they'll find a good replacement.
Well, you know how I feel about you, and, you know, I know because you actually texted me and said, leave our effing coach alone, you know, whatever. I just wanted you to know that I was feeling you, and it's great to talk to you, and I promise what I'd like to do on one of my shows is do a call with all four of you from Golf Unfiltered at one time. Boy, maybe we'll do a whole show like that. I'll talk to the powers that be about it.
Well, we can talk all the royal family conspiracy theories you want.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks, man. It's great to talk to you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Another Backspin Golf. Thanks so much, Bob Harrig, Chris Reddle, Trevor Reisk. My wonderful guests, so lucky every week. And lucky to have the partners that we have, as always. Commonwealth Credit Union, French Lick Resort, Critter Control, Truly Nolan, Gearheads of Nicholasville, Georgetown Advantage Air, and Lexington Parks and Rec for the great golf courses we have here. Be back next Sunday morning, 8:03. With another edition of Backspin Golf. It's ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is brought to you by Lexington Parks and Recreation.